Now we're going to consider the first reading and a bit of the psalm. First reading is Isaiah 66. And that's why I say that the, as you're going to see, the theme of these readings are raising a fallen world. That's us. We have to raise it. Can you pick up the world? No. You can hardly pick up your feet. But if with the Lord, we can do this. So, the text is so beautiful, the text we have here. I just noticed I only put the Hebrew down. I didn't put the... No, there it is. That's okay. Okay. Ko amar Adonai Hashemayim. You see? Thus says the Lord, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Exult, exult with you, with her, all you who were mourning over her. This first text, you see, is on this theme of raising a fallen world. Our text starts on verse 10 of Isaiah 66. But, you know, there are, well, we'll do that. We'll stick with that. Simchu et Yerushalayim. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Well, what's Jerusalem? It's the church. Exult, exult with her, all you who were mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you will find your comfort. I got a quiz for you. For what saint were those the life-transforming words? Thérèse of Lisieux. This is what spoke to her. God said through these words, I am going to carry you. I am going to care for you. It didn't mean she had an easy life. Sometimes she suffered so much, she said to God, oh God, could you take it easy? You know, she didn't have an easy life. But she knew that the work of the Lord going on in her was a work of hers. It belonged to her because God gave it to her, even as he worked in her, you see? And so this is a promise, you see, to the church, and through the church to the whole world, and in the church to us, you see? Rejoice with Jerusalem, be glad because of her. The new Jerusalem, you know, is the church. One day, maybe the church will locate itself, its headquarters again, in Jerusalem. You know, we're only in Rome because we got driven out of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Maybe we'll get back. Anyway, exult, exult with her, all you who are mourning over her. The Lord is promising, you can see where my church is weak and dark, where the clergy need help and the lady need help. I'm promising you, I'm coming. I'm coming to build you up, and give you the privilege of preaching thy gospel to the whole world. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with delight at her abundant breasts. For thus says the Lord. You see, I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing current. Yes, torrent. Okay. And then, starting with verse 10, it says, rejoice, you see, with Jerusalem, and dance, gilu. See, it says be glad, but that word used there implies dancing, you see. This is a solemn promise. Now, why would the church take these words today, on this Sunday, you see, to help us see something to help us penetrate more profoundly into the gospel. Because the gospel is going to be a gospel of consolation, right? It's going to be a gospel that talks about how the Lord sends out his disciples to preach, to tell everybody about this. Don't be embarrassed when you're waiting in line at the grocery store, or sitting on the bus, when you have your relatives over and they're not practicing. What are you going to do? You're not going to shake your finger and say, "Thus says the Lord, you're going to hell if you don't." It's true, but that's not what you're going to say. You know, you've got to find wisdom to show them the joy of belonging to the Lord. And so, you see, this text says then, you see, rejoice with Jerusalem, all, and be glad because of her, all you who love her. Yerushalayim, that's the church. As I say, it would be nice if the church were once again back in her home, Jerusalem. Rome's a nice place, and we've been there a long time. But the home of the church is Yerushalayim. Okay. Exult with her, all you who are mourning over her. Oh, that you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nourish with delight at her abundant breast. The church has this nourishment. Isn't that marvelous? The church has this nourishment for everyone who's connected with her, and many who are only starting to approach her, full of life. The church has abundant breasts to feed all who come to her. And that's what the text is saying, you see. I will spread prosperity over Jerusalem like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing torrent. That doesn't just mean they're going to bring silver and gold. It means they're going to bring themselves. And all that the Lord has taught them in their cultures, in their languages, in their philosophies, in their traditions, that is true, is going to come and enrich the church and be purified and strengthened by the gospel in the church, you see. As nurslings, you shall be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. This is the church that does this for us. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem, you shall find your comfort. You know that happens? If we really love the church, if we really find our rest in the church, if we mourn over the mess we make of the church, you will be comforted. You see? And that's why I say that the theme of this Mass, you see, is raising a fallen world. So, when you see this, your heart will rejoice, and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to his servants. What a beautiful promise. You see? And as this promise, and the theme of this Sunday, you see, is, you see, raising a fallen world. We really can't get much more fallen than we are now, all over the world. How much of the world are active, militant atheists fighting against God? Now, you see, they don't say they're fighting against God because they don't believe there is one. Well, they do know there is one. But they're trying to obliterate any faith in God. And that's why? You see, we want to be saviors. We want everybody to know that we've saved them. This has been the fascination ever since communism began. You see, we will organize the world. We will make it go. You know, for 2 years I studied economic theory because I was going to go to Washington and change the world. I didn't realize, you know, the egomania in that. At that time. But it was the summer between my freshman and sophomore year that I worked on the ore boats in the Great Lakes. And one night we pulled into Gary, Indiana, and it was midnight. The town is closed. Well, it's never closed. We went out, and we went into one bar after another. I'm 17. I'm not even drinking. The other guys had bought a pint, and I was carrying it because I wouldn't, you know. And every place we went, and I was only 17 and not very bright, but I felt the anger, the frustration. The boatmen, the steelmen, and the railroad men were all at enmity with one another for no reason at all, except they were angry and frustrated and oppressed. And they took it out on one another by these cliques, so that every bar we went into, there was a fight. We had to get out of it. And then finally the last one down in the African-American end of town, and they finally told us, you better get out of here. So we did. In a class I had on urban planning, economic geography in those days, near the end of the semester, the professor was going to take one town as a sterling example of how this works. The founding of Gary, Indiana, where the raw material would come from, how the steel would be made, the food input, the sewer output, all planned. And I looked at that and I said, you know, I'm in the wrong business. This is not going to change anything. And I went back to what the Lord had told me to do since I was 5 years old, become a priest. But it's not that this is bad will, it's just that it's helpless. So this promise, you see, there is a Jerusalem that can be just. Oh, if we keep renewing the church, because we can get as bad and worse, because, you know, the worst stink of any flower is the lily, the prettiest. But if it starts to rot, it smells worse than all the others. If we lose our Christianity and stay Christians, we smell worse than anything. And that's why, you see, the Holy Spirit is always bringing us to renewal. So the invitation today is not so much to think of what bad shape we're in, but to cherish this promise, the Word of God addressed to us today. You know what Vatican II says, right? When these texts are read at the liturgy on this date, 7th of July, when these texts are read, it is still Christ proclaiming His gospel. It is the Lord Christ giving us encouragement, promising restoration, telling us we will be consoled, we'll be nursed at her breast, and we can then give a real message of hope to the world and not just be shocked and dismayed at all the corruption around us. Have a word of hope and a confidence in the power of this word to change lives, including our own. And that's what this text is saying. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bodies flourish like the grass. The Lord's power shall be known to His servant. We'll see it. We see it already in all those renewal movements that are changing lives. That's why John Paul II started this whole thing and has every year a meeting, or nearly every year when he was alive, bringing these renewal movements together to rejoice in their common graces and to be strengthened to go back and serve their brothers and sisters, to bring them a living, conscious, joyful, life-changing knowledge of Jesus Christ, personal. What is the purpose of this year of faith? We know what it is, right? It's to have a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, right? That's what Benedict XVI, who started it, that's what he said. So, these texts are telling us it can happen. And those of us who hear them on this Sunday should take them seriously and try to find a way to spread that joy and that freedom. The Lord is promising. We cannot renew the church, but the church can be renewed by our Lord Jesus Christ, and He will do it. He will do it. That's the promise. And that's why the purpose of this year of faith is to have a living encounter with Christ. That's what changes us. Amen.